I'd like to start off by thanking everybody here for the opportunity to come forward tonight to study the Bible. I would like very much for everybody here to open your Bibles and to go through all the scriptures. I think my style of preaching is more of scripture reading as the subject, any subject that you could speak on, is spoken better by the people who wrote the Bible, by Jesus our Lord, and could not be made better by me. We'll be starting in Isaiah chapter 52, and we'll read again, verses 1 through 7. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem, loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore what I have here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing, those who rule over them. Make them wall, says the Lord. Make my name is blasphemed continually every day. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices, with their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Tonight I want to talk about something that I don't think most people like to talk about. If you would ask people personal questions, maybe they won't even answer you, but if you ask them personal questions about their person, about their body, you might get into a line of questioning and answers about what your favorite part of your body is. Men may ask in a lot of different things on TV what their favorite part of the body of a woman is, and woman vice versa. Things can get kind of bad in that conversation. But do we have a favorite part of our body? Do we hate most of our body? The television today would tell you that you probably hate most parts of your body, and you would probably like them all to be a little bit smaller. One of the most demeaning things to me today, and what the world view is one of the worst parts of the body is your feet. Nobody really likes feet. Feet are on the bottom. Nobody really sees their feet. People cover them up with socks and shoes, given the things that we need to do with our feet these days. But what do you do with your feet? Where do they take you? Once you've arrived somewhere with your feet, are people glad to see you? What do you proclaim in your life with those feet? And in this verse, do you bring glad tidings of good things? Can you lead people to salvation? So in this lesson, I'm just talking about an aspect of life that maybe you don't think about too much. And I didn't think about much until I got into this study. An aspect of looking at your life to where your feet takes you, and what you are doing with your feet. In Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. I thought about this lesson. It seems about it was a couple of months ago. There's one television network. There's many television networks that like to take one movie that is iconic in this world, in the world we live in, that people liked, and show it 5-6 times during a weekend, over and over, encore performances. I think A&E was doing Forrest Gump a couple of months ago. And I think most of us are familiar with the movie Forrest Gump. It is wide and extensive in what it covers. And it has many good quotes in it that we all remember. And it was filmed in the Lowcountry. It was filmed in Beaufort, most of it in Beaufort, South Carolina. So we got to know it pretty well. But one thing, there was a couple of quotes in that movie that got me thinking about feet. And feet is a very prominent feet and legs, and what he did with his legs and his running was a very prominent subject in that movie. Lieutenant Dan, this was his lieutenant in Vietnam when he arrived there. And he tells him and his friend, Bubba Blue, there's two standing orders in this platoon. Don't do anything stupid like getting yourself killed. And take good care of your feet. And he goes on to talk about how the enemy can smell your feet if you're not taking good care of them. And they will find you. He's sitting in Savannah on a square, on a bench, basically telling the whole movie to people, whoever would listen, in a narration. A nurse walks up. Those must be comfortable shoes. She's got big nursing orthopedic shoes on. I bet you could walk all day in those shoes and not feel a thing. My mama always said you could tell a lot about a person by their shoes, where they go, where they've been. I've worn lots of shoes. And in that movie, you see all the different shoes that he wears. And more importantly, you see everywhere he's been and the positive or negative effect that he had on the situation. The movie's point being it was pretty much positive throughout. And the movie's point also being that he was basically nobody. And he was mentally challenged. And look at the effect, and look at what the effect that he had on the world. In Psalm chapter 18, if you go home tonight and Google feet in the Bible, you will be surprised what you find. Feet, foot, walking, walk, walks, all those words have a lot to do with what's in the Bible. It's got a lot to do with the path that we take. In Psalm chapter 18, starting at verse 28, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. But my God, I can leap. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. We see the energy and the energizing that comes from God fueling your path. And most people in the world want to take their own path. Most people think, you know, definitely that they have the right, especially in this country of freedom, that you have the right to walk your own path and God will be with you. But that's not the case. God will make your way straight. God will energize your path, and God will be with you in all the things that you do if you're walking the way he wants you to walk. In Psalm chapter 31, we see another thing that God can do for your feet. Starting in verse 3. For you are my rock and my fortress, therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities, and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. And this is something that's not really heard of today. We have so many different things that we say in our speech that is accepted, and we all understand it with common sense. Not too many people come up to you and say, you know, that God has put my feet in a wide place. What does that mean to you? You know, just take the opposite. That's what I do when I try to figure out what things mean. The opposite is having your feet in a very thin place. How hard is it to stand? It is so important in our Christian lives to stand our ground. How hard is that to do in a very thin place? God gives you the strength. And God gives you a wide place to set your feet. In Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. We see a warning here of looking at certain people's feet. If you see people that are quick to run to evil, the first things in their mind are to do evil. We ought to stay away from them. There are many warnings in Proverbs of what to do and what not to do. And if you see these things, if you see people that are quick to run to evil, we ought to stay away from that. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. This is also something that you need to be on the lookout for and watch for. We know a lot of different verses in the Scripture to be alert and be watchful. But we're watching this woman's feet here. Where are her feet taking her? What is her path? And do you want to follow in that path? Her steps lay hold of hell. In Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 6. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. There's one thing I remember when I was in Florida College and going to the lectures there. First of all, it's a very awe-inspiring sight to see. I'm sure it's probably much bigger now. But there's anywhere from 1,500 to 1,700 people, all packed in a gym. I think they have a bigger place now. But there was a preacher there, I think his name was Ralph Walker Jr., and he talked about this verse. And he talked about it, if this verse was literal, then all of us would be drowning in our own blood, and there would be limbs everywhere cut off. It was a very gruesome picture. It was very descriptive in what he was saying. But the truth is the truth. And this is to This is for us to look at as Christians on how serious offenses are, how serious sins are. The Bible talks a lot about what we do in our mind and how we are to cut sin off in our head. But when we go to grab something, when we go with our feet to do something that is not lawful, that is against God's law, that is against all God's morals, we see the seriousness of which we need, how we need to take it. And nobody's asking us to cut off our real limbs. But we see the seriousness of God here. And God does not change. God struck people down in their steps, right where they were standing in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We serve the same God today. And he thinks the same things about sin. Ephesians chapter 6, we see, as far as our bodies are concerned, what we are to do with our bodies. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we could do a whole lesson on the preparation of the gospel of peace. But this is where our feet belong. This is where our feet are going to take us. This is what we should be spreading. This is the path and the way that we should go. The gospel of peace. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed and made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we have probably different words, our center column reference, or if you have a Bible that has a reference in it. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? To walk carefully. I always think of math class, which I didn't do much of when I was in math class, but I think back about circumference. Think about a circle. Think about standing in place and walking around and seeing everything around you, being aware of everything around you, and not having a blind eye to evil that is around you, and most important, not having a blind eye to the glory of God that is around you. We are to walk circumspectly, and that is carefully. We are to know the path that we are on. In Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. We see the power and the trust that we can have in the Lord. We can put our faith in so many different things in this world, and so many people are trying to get you to put their faith in so many different things. Whether it's at work, whether it's at school, on TV, in movies, they're always trying to get you to do something. They're always trying to get you to go down their path. because they swear or they say or promise that it will be the right path. It will make you happy. We see here that if we put our strength in the Lord, to lift up our eyes to the hills, to lift up our eyes to high places where God is, that God will not allow our foot to slip, will not allow our foot to be moved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all are the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do you have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. We see here two different ways of looking at it. If you just take your body, just your own personal physical body, we see how everything works together. Everything has to work together. Most everybody in here, except for the babies, can walk. Thank the Lord for that. There are a lot of people in this world that don't have the privilege of walking. There's Brother Randy, who has a lot of trouble with walking and has to get along in a wheelchair. We are never to take for granted the things in our physical body that we are capable of doing. Because as the Bible says in many of these verses, we are responsible for using those gifts. We are responsible for doing what we can and using everything that we have that God gave us. But we see here that just with the regular body, with regular hands and regular feet, that they all have to work together. They have to. They need each other. And one cannot exist without the other. If your feet hurt, and I can speak, just in my 36 years, I can speak pretty good to my feet hurting. I work at a job where I don't sit, I stand. Anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day. And a lot of you can probably get along with that. A lot of you might have had jobs that were the same way. Your feet are going to hurt, but your body is not just walking around on your feet hurting, feeling awesome. Your feet are the base of everything. Your feet start the pain, and the pain moves throughout your whole body. And the people that's felt that know what I'm talking about. Your back will hurt because of your feet. Your knees will hurt because of your feet. And so on and so on. Your feet are very important, as well as all the members of your body. The second part that this verse talks about is the body of Christ and how we're all members. And we all have different strengths. We all have something to give. There are people in this room that I think are the feet of this congregation. There are people in this room that I think are the hands of this congregation. And we all work together to do what is right, to do the will of the Lord in this area, to do the will of the Lord in our lives, everywhere that we go. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we know this verse pretty well because we just had a gospel meeting on it, a very informative gospel meeting that taught us a lot, taught me a lot. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they are evil, that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better to not vow than to vow and not pray. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there is also vanity. But fear God. We're to be very careful on how we approach, how we walk toward the temple of God. We are to always remember, as Solomon, I believe, here is saying, that he is in heaven and we are down here. We have to know our place as far as God is concerned and know that he knows everything. To know that he is in control and in power. And we are to be very careful in the things that we do and very careful in the vows and the things that we say. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We see here the word walk, and we walk with our feet. We are to think about as Christians what our walk is, because it's got everything to do with everything we do every day. Because when we get up in the morning, we start our walk. Literally? Absolutely. We have to walk and we have to get ready. We have to go to work. We have to go to school and whatever we do that day. But in our minds and in our hearts, we need to get ready for our walk. We will encounter everything that the devil has to offer. We will encounter many temptations. We will encounter many opportunities to show people who we are. We are walking literally with our feet and we are walking in our minds, the walk God has given us. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This goes to talking about our walk in our head and how we walk in this world. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. In Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. As Christians, we are always to remember, not just on Sunday, we are always to remember the sacrifice that Christ gave for us. The sacrifice that God gave for us in giving his only begotten Son. The sheer and utter definition of love that that represents. And this is how we are to walk. As we remember that, to walk in love. In Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We are to think about every day the worthiness of ourselves. We most definitely could never be worthy of the salvation that God has given us. We will never be worthy of the gifts that we get. But we are always to be thinking about it and always try our best to walk worthy. I have this discussion at work many times about the word perfect and about how we are to try to be perfect. And I get inundated all the time. And you get it at work and you get it on the TV and magazines. The world will tell you that you can't be perfect, and so the world tells you to not even try. And that is the purveying intellect in this world. Do whatever you want to do. And if I tell them, well, I want to try to do the will of the Lord, and the will of the Lord says I can be perfect, which means complete. I will mess up, but I have redemption. I can be forgiven. But it is something for the world that is so hard to do. They believe it to be unattainable. And because of that, their method of dealing with it is to just not do it at all. In Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy 23 is something interesting in thinking about cleanliness. All of us would agree that cleanliness is very important. Chapter 23, verse 9. When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourself from every wicked thing. If there is any man among you who becomes unclean by some occurrence in the night, then he shall go outside the camp. He shall not come inside the camp. But it shall be when evening comes that he shall wash with water, and when the sun sets, he may come into the camp. Also you have a place outside the camp where you may go out, and you shall have an implement among your equipment, and when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover your refuse. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore your camp shall be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. When I read this verse, I think of my mother. She'll would always say, godliness is next to cleanliness. And watching her clean was just amazing. No doubt she learned it from her mother. It was a very old adage. But it rings true. All the way back to Deuteronomy. The Lord God your walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore your camp shall be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. Can we use that in our lives today? The wonderfulness of the Bible is we can read back in these old verses and think that that's what was going on in that camp. But what is going on in your house? What is going on in your life? Is one of the additives of your life and house is that it's clean? Can God walk to and fro? Would you want God to walk to and fro in your life and in your house, in your walk? In Psalm chapter 1, very well-known verse about walking. Where your feet may take you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We see here something that as Christians we could do every day. We can watch and we can look at the paths of the unrighteousness and make sure that we're not walking in those paths. And then someone would say, or even you might say, well, what do I do? If I'm not going to walk in those paths, or I'm going to choose not to walk in those paths, verse 2 tells you exactly what you need to be doing. If you're not going to walk in those paths, then you need to know that your delight is in the law of the Lord. And meditate on it day and night. And in so doing, it'll keep you from those paths of unrighteousness. We also always and ever need to be worried about somebody else that is walking in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The devil is out there walking with you, along with God walking with you. Will you choose the path that the devil wants, or will you choose the path that God wants? The devil is seeking after you in so many different ways. You know, all the different aspects of your life, through the people that you talk to, the people that you hang around with, the things that you allow yourself to see, whether in book, magazine, or on TV. The devil is there, and he's seeking whom he may devour. In Proverbs chapter 6, for all those people that are fixated in the world about the Ten Commandments or about the seven abominations of the Lord, and they live their lives by those things. I know many people like that, that think that they can live by the Ten Commandments or don't do the seven abominations of the Lord, and they're going to be fine. This is for them. These are 6 things the Lord hates, yes, are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, the heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run into evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. If you break this down, you could spend a lot of time on the different actions these things talk about. The different actions that you can plug in to everything that this verse is talking about. And feet that are swift to run to evil is a very broad subject. What are you trying to do in your life? One of the movies that Dr. Seuss did, and even one of his books, there's also another great quote. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know. You are the guy who'll decide where to go. Dr. Seuss had an awesome way of putting things in words. He wrote a lot of children's books for that reason. The reason that his words were very easy to understand and very catchy in the way that they were said. But we have feet in our shoes, and we can steer ourselves in any direction that we choose. As a Christian, what should you choose? You should choose what your name is. If you are a Christian, then you are Christ-like. And we have all the acts pertaining that are important to us, that God deemed important in the Bible. We have the Acts of the Apostles who were following Jesus Christ. We have a whole book called the Acts of the Apostles. I didn't think about that until later on in life, because as a child and growing up, you just think Acts is Acts. And you don't realize it's a word. And the name of the book is not Acts, it's just Acts of the Apostles. It's what they did. It's what they were doing. In God's sight. Right in God's sight. Let me get a psalm book real quick. Number 665. One of my favorite songs. If you hang around with me long enough, there's two things in this world that I really like a lot, and it's music and movies. From the quotes I've given you here tonight that are in my head all the time when they're good quotes, and good quotes that I can use in my life. I very much love to lead singing. I was a music major in college, and my wife will tell you music is in my life at all times. I believe in the healing properties and how it can make you feel, and I think that's God-given. And I think it is the reason why we don't have instruments here, because the beauty of the human voice and the speaking. If you have an instrument, I can tell you right now, because I listen to music mostly because of the music and the instrumentation. I don't listen to the words. I have a lot of songs that I probably shouldn't have on my iPod because of the words. I have no idea what they're saying, but I should. This is the reason instruments do not belong in this room. It's because of the words that we're saying. Number 665 is Walk With Me. Walk with me, walk with me, lest mine eyes no longer see all the glory, all the story of your love. Talk to me like you spoke so tenderly when you talked there, when you walked there by the sea. Talk with me, lest mine ears no longer hear all the wonder, all the beauty of your grace. Walk with me as you walk so lovingly, when you walk there, when you talk there by the sea. Let me follow in the footsteps that trod the shore of Galilee. Let me learn to pray like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Take my hand, teach me, Lord, to understand all the duty, all the beauty of your love. And in a simple song, we can get so much out of. So much meaning and emotion about our walk with God. So in closing tonight, I would tell you to not listen to the world and think less of your feet than any other part of your body. Your feet take you where you go. Your feet are the strength that will take you where you need to go. But as we read in many verses tonight, there's also the strength to take you where you shouldn't be. And how we need to have our mind over body and God in our mind to be able to take our feet where they should go. That feet are very important in our lives. Where we walk is what's going to happen. Where we walk is who we are. More importantly, how we walk is what people see. Walking not only with our legs, but walking with our hearts and our minds and what we say to people. People will think about our lives and see us as Christians or just see us as regular people, whether that's good or bad. I've always tried to lump people in my life in certain categories, saying that they're pretty good people, they're good moral people. One big one growing up was that they're Baptist, they're good moral Baptists. And those were always some of my best friends, were good moral Baptists. They had some of the same beliefs as I did, and I could talk with them about many different things. But there are people out there that don't think about good things. There are people out there that think about themselves first, that put number one first, and that's them. Those are the people we need to be helping. Those are the people we also need to not walk in their path, because that is the wrong path. Our path is to put God number one. And because of that, we put everybody else before ourselves. First, our brothers and sisters, and everybody in this world that needs salvation. I've had to do this in my life. I've had to do this in my work, because it's been very hard, and the people that I work with are so indignant about spiritual things. They don't want to hear it. The way I see it, the biggest reason they don't want to hear it is because it convicts them. But I'm standing before you today because I was convicted one day. And there's two things you're going to do when convicted. You can do as the people in Acts 2:38 did when they were cut to the heart and repent and be baptized. Or you can do later on in Acts what the people did when Stephen was preaching. When they were cut to the heart and they grabbed rocks to kill him. They were both convicted. Both of those people were convicted but have different feelings towards it. An honest person will choose spirituality. I've seen that in my life. An honest person that you give the Bible to, that you give Bible principles to, and you can talk honestly about things, they will find the truth. God makes it happen. People who are not honest with themselves, and people who want to do what they want to do and walk in the path that they want to walk in, they will not accept. And we are to do our best to not throw pearls before swine, to know when to say, I've done all I can. But we are to always walk in that way, to walk in a way of trying to help, to walk in a way that whether they listen to us or not, they can see our walk and see how happy we are, to see how successful we are in our lives because God is in it. If there's anybody here tonight who is not a Christian and realizes how lost they are, is convicted tonight by the word of the Lord that they need to do the right thing, that they've heard the word, that you've heard the word, that you believe it, you are willing to repent, to turn away from what you've been doing in your life, to confess your sins before the Lord, to be baptized into Christ's death for the remission of your sins, and walk in newness of life. I ask you to come forward. If you are a Christian here tonight and have done like me, chosen a lot of different paths, some good, some bad, realize through the time that God gave you, the gift of time that God gave you, that they were wrong. Not reading and studying your Bible like you should, that would show you the right path that you need to be on at all times, and show you the things that you need to be doing on that path. It's very specific to me. If you're a Christian and have trouble in that area, need the prayers of the congregation, we ask you to come forward as we stand and